With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
I have no agenda here except the well-being of your home. The conviction that we're under entirely too much frustration from the chaos of being too busy, and God is not delighted in that. That is not pleased God. I know there's a certain rush that you get as an individual and as a family by being busy, because busy in our society translates into what? I'm important. I feel important. But I think it also translates into a highly ineffective life, into the life of chaos and confusion.
Welcome, and stay with us as Dr. Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Harry brings us part one of the message, From Frenzied Families to Focused Families, Cures for the Hyperactive Home. We continue in our series, The Simplicity of the Christian Life. In the business world, a principle has been recognized called the KISS principle, an acronym meaning Keep It Simple, Stupid. This principle states that simplicity should be a key goal and unnecessary complexity should be avoided. We should also seek to avoid unnecessary complexity in the Christian life and in our family lives by following a similar KISS principle. Keep it simple, saints. How can we restore biblical simplicity to Christian homes and turn frenzied families into families that are focused on the Lord? If you're following along in the scriptures, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're focusing on verses 1 through 4. Here again is Harry Reeder with part one of the message, From Frenzied Families to Focused Families. Cures for the Hyperactive Home.
You don't have to quit kissing, but we are concluding the series, KISS, which means what? Keep it simple, saints. Some of you keep saying, keep it simple, stupid, but no, saints. Remember, encouraging one another. This series, KISS, I thought that was so ingenious a title for the series. I know you probably don't, but I really enjoyed it. And KISS, it reminded me of a story of the preacher who was standing and preaching, and he looked down and he would see his wife, and she would look up at him and go. The second time he looked down, she went. Well, after the service, he said, honey, listen, I'm trying to preach. And you're going, and that's just very distracting. I love you too. She said, well, that didn't have anything to do with love. And he said, well, what were you doing? She said, that's a what? He said, well, it was a kiss. And she said, I was trying to tell you, keep it short, stupid. What a wife. What a wife. I hesitated telling that because I've got some elders that next Sunday I can just see them. If you've got your Bibles, look with me in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. After children have been called to this response to their parents, an insightful comment is then made in the fourth verse for parents in general under the leadership of a father. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Fathers, do not provocate your children. Do not provoke them to anger. It's very interesting. In fact, some translations will not translate that anger. They'll translate, do not provoke your children unto frustration. And that is a valid concept in the original word. It has this idea of frustration. The anger, have you ever seen, for instance, a child that gets caught into something and doesn't know how to get out of it, and they just kind of get angry and frustrated with the situation that they find themselves in? Well, that's the idea. Don't handle your children in such a way that you are provoking them to anger. But on the contrary, instead of provoking them in frustration, what I want you to do is, now he puts the positive in place. Look at verse 4. Raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'd like the privilege to do just a couple of things with you on this, where we're headed, the 10 cures for the hyperactive home. You know, if I could sit down with every parent and try to take biblical principles and download them into life individually, singles, or as families, parents, if I could download biblical principles in your life that we have been covering in this series and the idea behind it, there's just some very practical suggestions that I think are rooted in biblical principle and are, let me confess, some of what I'm going to share, I'm going to ask you to accept under the rubric of sanctified common sense. Just sanctified common sense. I have no agenda here except the well-being of your home. The conviction that we're under entirely too much frustration from the chaos of being too busy, and God is not delighted in that. That has not pleased God. I know there's a certain rush that you get as an individual and as a family by being busy, because busy in our society translates into what? I'm important. I'm important. Busy translates into, I feel important. But I think it also translates into a highly ineffective life. I think it also translates into the life of chaos and confusion. Now, let me take just a few moments and just make sure that we have in the back of our minds these basic principles to keep it simple, saints. We have found that there's three foundational principles that we're working from. Simplicity is biblical, that God loves for us to be focused in life. He gives us mission and focus. Secondly, that simplicity is the answer to complexity. Efficiency is not the first answer to complexity, it's simplicity. That's the answer to complexity. It is to simplify. You know, I was talking with a bunch of pastors on Friday. I was asked to do a presentation at a presbytery gathering of pastors. And I told them, I said, you know, as pastors, we're always trying to get ahead of the curve and where the culture is going. I said, I believe that this culture that is so inundated with choice is moving toward a desire for simplicity. And if you want to get ahead of the curve, lead your people to simplicity. That's what people are trying to do. Notice all of this multiplicity of technology in which you had to buy all of these technological gadgets. Notice how many of them now are, well, we're putting all six of these together into one, in one function. Or notice how we have a society that is beginning to sense out of intuition it needs to move that way. Thirdly, simplicity is not only biblical, it is not the answer to complexity, but we have said simplicity is the ability to say no because you have established the right yeses, the bigger yeses in life. Now, from those principles, we put down some foundational pillars. Simplicity factors is what we call them. The first one was from the life of Mary. Martha was upset because Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus learning while she was not up helping Martha serve. And Jesus says, no, I am not demeaning service, but the key to ministry and service is first getting the first things first. And the first thing, one thing's necessary, and that is to sit and learn of Jesus in intimacy and in devotion. The simple life begins with the priority of a regular time of intimacy with the Lord for spiritual nourishment and refreshment and vitality that you and I have as a habit of life. That was the first simplicity factor, that we build in our life the regular, systematic meeting with our Lord on a regular basis. My approach, just to kind of give you a little hint here, my approach and the way I do this is I try to establish my time with the Lord. I meet with the Lord, and on Mondays, whatever I'm preaching on Sunday morning, I use devotionally on Monday. Now, you say, now, Harry, wait just a minute. Is that sermon preparation? Well, it is and it isn't. I don't really have as my devotions the text for Sunday morning to prepare for the sermon, but in a way I do. And here's the principle. I don't do sermon preparation with that. I want God to speak to my heart from that text before I ever develop it for your heart. I want Him to speak to me. So it's not really sermon development. It's not that. It's, God, would you please preach this to me so that I will hear you before I try to share what you want with anybody else. And guess what I do on Tuesday? That's the Sunday night text. And then I move into my Ligonier table talk for the rest of the week. And then just try to spend some time with the Lord. That's just a help, just a hint. That's not necessarily the way you have to do it. Just some ideas that you put into place. But find time to be in prayer and the Word. In the Word, God speaks to you. In prayer, you speak to Him. That is the intimacy. Then you're ready for ministry. Just like Mary will come back to the feet of Jesus not too long after that. No longer to listen, but to anoint those feet and to prepare Him for His burial and the atoning work that He was to do. Simplicity factor number two was the organizing passion of life, and that is the glory of God. We have one consuming passion. God made us for His glory. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. To glorify and enjoy Him forever. The more you enjoy Him, the more you glorify Him. The more you glorify Him, the more you'll enjoy Him. So when you're with Him and you know Him and you love Him and you know of His love for you, you will then be moved to do what? To lift Him up, to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. That brought us to the third simplicity factor, which is the organizing paradigm of life. When Jesus, we have one case of personal, perfect personal formation, and that's the life of Jesus. And it says He grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with man. Luke 2:52. So that what we are to do is we are to have a way of life in which we are persistently committed to this biblical paradigm of, by God's grace, growing intellectually, wisdom, physical disciplines, growing in stature, then the spiritual disciplines of growing in our relationship to the Lord, favor with God, and then the social disciplines of growing in our relationship with others in favor with man. That led us to our fourth factor, which was the organizing divine present that God has given to us, the Lord's Day. That your week is organized by God around the Lord's Day, which becomes the receptacle for praise to God for 6 days of work to the glory of God, and becomes a platform to launch into the next week, ready to serve the Lord. So that ultimately the Lord's Day is God's precious gift to us. He said, I did not make man for the Sabbath, I made the Sabbath for man. So that when it is observed with a delight, God says the other 6 days will be more productive, they'll be more orderly, they'll be more enjoyable. In fact, He says, you'll be like an eagle that I put up onto the wind currents over the earth. Watch it soar effortlessly. That's what I do for you when you call my day a delight, to observe it and to embrace it. Now, taking these factors and other things that we have gone through and to, I would like to share with you 10, I know this is not exhaustive, but I want to give you 10 cures for the hyperactive home. You know, I believe that this is something that is just absolutely important, that you've got to take hold of the matter of our home and our lives, that we have got to bring some order and focus and alignment. All right, number one is this. Here's the first one. The first one is this. Plan your life in Christ and then live your plan for Christ. Plan your life in Christ and then live your plan for Christ. Now, don't just plan your life. Come to Christ. He's your Lord. He's your King. He's your sovereign. He's given you His Word. Now, when you come to Christ and you come to Him to plan your life in Christ, now you can have a plan that is workable in life. And the plan that He gives you in life is one in which you can then live your plan for Christ. With confidence in His Word, plan your life in Christ. With love for Christ, live your plan for Christ. All right, now let me give you some basics to this. The first one is this. Yeses are the keys to know. Go to God's Word and find out what are the yeses in life. I want to come back to this matter of, for me, this was a life. I've repeated it so much, you probably have already got the idea. This must be something that really helped Harry. Well, it did, about 14 years ago, when I sat down and took a look and said, you know, people ask me to do this, they ask me to do that, and I need to be available, and I need to do this. I have a hard time saying no. Well, I found that I had a whole lot easier time to say no when I found out what my yeses were to Jesus. Then I didn't feel like I was turning people down. I didn't feel like I was being unresponsive. I could be like Mary to tell Martha, Martha, I'll get with you, but I need Jesus first. I got a yes that comes first. Now I'll be able to help you. You wouldn't believe what kind of cook and bottle washer I'll be after that. But I need time with my Savior first. So the yeses are crucial. And as you plan your life, not only begin to look in God's Word for the yeses, but the second thing is establish biblical priorities and the non-negotiables of life. Our family a long time ago put the Lord's Day as a non-negotiable. That's a challenge for us because I'm one of those guys that has to work on the Lord's Day, a work of necessity. But we determined early on that we were not going to lose the Lord's Day for our family. And so a long time ago, we put that down as a non-negotiable. It guided us in the conduct of our children and sports activities. It guided us in the conduct of what we would do, how we would do classwork, how we would do homework, how we would do this and how we would do that. That was a non-negotiable. It was the Lord's Day. That's what we began with. Now, were there providential hindrances sometime? Was there works of necessity? Were there works of mercy? Yes. Did we have to work through things? Was everything easy and decisions that were made? No. But that was a biblical priority and a non-negotiable. A time with the Lord was a non-negotiable. Biblical priorities and non-negotiables. Go through and put them down. What are they in life? And build from there. You've all heard me use the illustration. I'll just use it one more time. It's the illustration of the guy that's got the time management class in college, and he's trying to convince his students it's not time management, it's self-management. And the way he does it is by putting a jar with big rocks in it, and he says, now the jar is full. They said yes. He said no, and he poured sand in the jar between the rocks. Then he said, the jar is full. They're pretty smart kids. They said, no, it's not, because then you had another jar of water, and that goes up. And then he asked them, he said, after he got it full of the big rocks and the sand and the water, he said, what lesson did you learn? Somebody raised their hand and said, oh, there's always room to squeeze in a little more. And he said, that is a lesson. That is the principle of efficiency, and that's a valid lesson. But that's the secondary lesson. The primary lesson that I want you to learn from this experiment is big rocks have to go in first. So what are the big rocks in life? Go to God's Word, find the big rocks, and put them in first. In other words, take the calendar of your life. You've been given 24-hour days, a finite number of sunrises and sunsets. Just, that's your jar. Now, what is it and how is it you're going to fill it up? Put the big rocks in there first. Don't leave them up. Don't leave them up to chance. Don't try to squeeze in those things that make you effective in life. Put those in, find out biblically what are the priorities, treat them as non-negotiables, and put them into life. And there they are. Thirdly, remember that spiritual health and vitality, that is your personal spiritual health and vitality, your family's spiritual health and vitality, is the most important thing in your life. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world? Physical success, material success, but he loses his soul. Bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is a means of great gain. I'm not saying that physical disciplines are not important, but spiritual disciplines in life to grow in the Lord, to be attached to the ways that He will grow you, to be engaged in the things that the Lord has called you to. Those personal and family spiritual health and vitality, non-negotiables and priorities are the priority of all priorities. Fourthly, create some margins in your life. You know, one of the things that right now I've talked with Crossway Bible, and they asked me, you know, Harry, are y'all enjoying the English Standard Version? I said, yes. They said, do you have any recommendations for us? I wrote them a list of five recommendations, and one of them was we need a good preacher's Bible. I said, what's a good preacher's Bible? I said, it's simple. Good preacher's Bible is a black letter edition. I'm not into the red letter edition. I believe all of this is Jesus' words. And he's a black letter edition, single column, big margins. Big margins. You need margins in your life. You need room to respond. You can't plan everything, so you want to plan the ability to respond. And that's what planning your life is all about, is making sure not only are the priorities and the non-negotiables in place, but that time when your child shows up with tears running down their face, totally bewildered, totally frustrated, you can say, well, let's sit down and have a cookie. Let's talk about it. That you build that kind of time into the function of your life. Finally, embrace the divine gift of the Sabbath. As I thought I would, and appropriately, people came and said, now, Harry, what about this? Can I do this or can I not do that? Now, folks, I know some of you are frustrated with me because I won't say, well, you can't do this and you can't do that. I try to give you the positive principles, but I'll tell you one of the things I'm trying to avoid. I'm trying to avoid the mistake that the rabbis made in the Old Covenant, in which they took the principles and regulations of the Sabbath and added to them and began to bind the consciences of men and women inappropriately. Because the Bible is very clear. There isn't a new covenant ceremonial Sabbath. There is a creation Sabbath, Christian Sabbath, for celebration and benefit, but there's not a ceremonial Sabbath. We are not called to sit down and say, okay, now you can go this far, this is how much gas you can burn in your car and not violate the Sabbath. We're not into doing that, where the traditions of men outweigh the principles of God's Word. Principle is the priority of worship, resting from my normal labor in order to the holy activity of worship and rest and refreshment personally and my family for renewal and making those right decisions. And then living my life in such a way that if I've got a business and my business does not deal with things that are necessary on the Lord's Day, to be engaged in, like a fireman, like a policeman, or something like that, then I will not cause those who work for me to be engaged in such activity. And I will conduct myself as a way of life in which I can encourage others to the Sabbath and what I do on the Lord's Day as well. Now, this is kind of a big deal with me because of two reasons. One is it was life-changing for me. The Lord's Day is a gift. Secondly, I've seen it life-changing in the lives of God's people. Thirdly, there was some cost in our embracing the Lord's Day as a family for my children and some decisions that they had to make about where they would go to school and where their athletic activities would be found and things like that. So it had to work through it. But one of my blessings is I grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina, Mecklenburg County. You say, Harry, what does that got to do with this? That was the home of the Blue Laws. That's where the Blue Laws started. Blue referred to those blue stocking Presbyterians with that blue flag, the St. Andrew's flag. Because of the revivals in the 1750s and then the revivals again in the 1830s, because of the way that they lived in Mecklenburg County, it wasn't profitable to open up on the Lord's Day. And then people got to talking about, you know, it's fine for Christians to get together for worship, but you know what? This wasn't just a Christian Sabbath. God made us this way. It's good for everybody to set aside one day. And so then it became the common practice. Only the industries of necessity were open. You know what a blessing it was? I think about this almost every Sunday when I get in the car and fight traffic to get to the evening worship service on Sunday. And I remember growing up, there was no traffic. Now, I wished I could tell you that traffic jam was everybody headed to a Sunday evening worship service tonight. But that wasn't it. Sunday's just one more day. One more day. Let me ask you, what would happen? I just want to provoke you in a positive way. What would happen if all of the believers made a decision? If all of the believers made a decision that we are going to just keep the Lord's Day, and we're going to focus on the Lord and personal renewal and refreshment. And You can call your athletic events. You can open up your super sales. You can do all of that, but we don't show up. What do you think would happen in a place like Birmingham? Do you think the culture would shift? Do you think the culture would make a shift somewhere? But you know what? They know they've got us. What was really interesting, when I was a kid growing up, we didn't have to make decisions about Sundays and athletic events. They were already made. And that was the assumption, that that was going to be a priority in the life of a Christian family, so they conformed to us. Because of, what does the Bible call that? Salt. Salting the culture. That's what it calls it.
By following the KISS principle, Keep It Simple Saints, our families can avoid unnecessary complexity and complication and enjoy the benefits and blessings of biblical simplicity. Join us again next time as we continue in our series, The Simplicity of the Christian Life. Now, if you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request From Frenzied Families to Focused Families, Cures for the Hyperactive Home, or simply ask for message number 10357. Again, that's message number 10357. We do request $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD along with shipping and handling. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. Email inperspective@briarwood.org. One of the greatest joys in the Christian life is raising a family. One of the biggest challenges in the Christian life is raising a family. Pastor Reeder's series, Seven Essentials for the Christian Family, will help equip your family to experience life triumphantly in Christ. Some of the topics Harry covers in this series includes developing a heart for the home. What about singleness? 10 practices for biblical parenting. What about divorce, marriage, and remarriage? This 12 sermon series album, Seven Essentials for the Christian Family, is available for just $36. It's easy to order. Go online to briarwood.org/7essentials. That's briarwood.org/7essentials. For additional video, audio, and written resources, download the Briarwood app. Go to your favorite app store, type in Briarwood PCA. With this app, you'll have access to audio, video, and written resources that will encourage your growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. The app is yours at no charge. Again, our address, In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. Email Harry at inperspective@briarwood.org. Join us again next time as Harry takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.